Happy New Year's. We got, 2 days? And we have a new year. And I changed my message. I didn't change my message to do a totally different message. When that happens, Lisa says my best message she thinks is when I work all week and then the Lord changes it and I put something together in 5-10 minutes. It's like, whoa, where did that come from, you know? But the ones where I study a lot and everything, hopefully they're a huge blessing because I seek the Lord through those times as well. But she's saying, I'm sure that's not true all the time as far as which messages she likes the best, but that wasn't one of these days. This is one of these days where I didn't want to break my last year's resolution because when I looked at my notes, they were like 33 pages long. And I thought, whoa, I've been doing pretty good about getting done on time, you know. Now it's a rare exception if I'm late, you know. And I thought, wow, 33 pages. I want to share all this because I wanted to take you through a message I'm calling, and actually a little series now, New Life Resolutions. These are for your life. And as I looked at my notes, I'm like, and I printed them out. I hadn't counted until I printed them out. And of course, my printer didn't have enough paper. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And I'm like, you know what? I can't preach this whole thing. I'm like, but I want this to be just, it's such a powerful message to me because 2 Peter chapter 1 is one of my favorite by far passages in all of Scripture for spiritual growth. It's a passage I look to over and over again for my own walk with Jesus to be strong. And I hope you'll be blessed in it. I've only preached through 2 Peter chapter 1, even though I've been pastoring here for almost 30 years. I've only preached through 2 Peter chapter 1. And not even all the verses one time. We haven't been through 2 Peter yet. And I'm looking forward to going through that verse by verse eventually. I thought that was shocking to me because as much as I love that passage. And I want to go through 1 through 11 for you guys. And I thought, you know what? This is really, it was just impressed upon my heart that instead of preaching it all in one time, so you don't forget the first half of it, and then your rear end don't start hurting at 2:30 or 3 o'clock, which I wouldn't do to you, I'm going to make it a 3-part series. And that'll give me time to work on the 2 messages as well through the next couple of weeks. Because I really figured it'd be blessed. I thought this would be really good because it's new life resolutions. And how many times do people make New Year resolutions, right? And then after the new year starts, they just forget about them. Some don't, but many do, right? And I don't believe since it's new year that, we got to make new year resolutions. I believe because God is God. Amen. He's our creator. That we should have life resolutions and we should reaffirm them every day. You know, every day you wake up, Jesus says, take up your cross how often? Daily. Amen. We're supposed to take up our crosses daily, deny ourselves and follow him. And I don't think these resolutions I'm talking about should be, you know, for the next year, but they should be for your life. And hopefully you're already walking in them. But the verses we're going to look at are so amazing to me. 2 Peter is just an amazing book. And there's certain scriptures that hit us, of course, harder than others. As I looked at it, I thought, you know what? I could just go through and skim through my notes and take the nuggets and make it one message. But I thought, wow, it would be really good because there's so much gold in these 3 messages coming up that after the new year has started, we stay on this topic and we keep our hand to the plow. Amen. As we focus on the new year and we have 2 messages on this, 2 more after the new year. So we have 3 messages, Lord willing, I'll continue to seek him, but that's what it looks like it's going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And I'm first going to read to you the first 11 verses, the verses that we will study in the course of the next few Sundays. And I think this is good too, because we have, even though there's a good amount of people here still, we have a youth retreat, adults and a lot of your young people gone. We have several people gone because of sickness. You know, my wife has a very infectious flu over there. Just to let you know, just kidding, baby. I think she's getting a little bit better. Just don't give her big hugs. But it's been through my house. Josiah just went on the youth trip and up to Big Bear. They're going to have a great time. Pray for their spiritual growth. They'll be snowboarding and stuff. But I know they're going to get a lot of solid teaching as well. And he wasn't feeling good the last few days either. I mean, they were both, you know, really sick at the same time. But I know a lot of people are out. So it'd be good to go through this in 3 weeks because people can catch up a little bit as well. But in 2 Peter, I love Peter. I love, you know, different people in this, characters in Scripture, people that we... real people that really lived, that God used to write the word of God to us. And Peter's life, you know, I love John's life. I love Paul's life. I love Peter's life. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, which is part of what we call the dark corner of the New Testament. Second Peter and Jude are probably the most neglected books, among the most neglected books, if not in the New Testament. And I think one reason they're so neglected is because they confront a lot of the false stuff in the church, especially through Second Peter chapter 2. A lot of the false prophets and the false teachings and license and things that are so, Jude warns about those who have snuck in the church and turned the grace of God, what Jesus did on the cross, into a license for immorality. And that just runs roughshod over what's being taught in a lot of popular pulpits today. And unfortunately, not only are those warnings lost, which we need so much today, but also so much of the uplifting encouragement to walk in God's truth. And so, Lord, we pray in your Son's name that you would open our hearts to your word and that you speak to us by your Holy Spirit and that we would truly be transformed through this little series. In your Son's name, amen. Chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Peter, not 1st, Simon Peter. And you know, his name was Simon, right? His name was changed to what? Peter. Petros, his little rock. And, you know, some say, well, his name was changed because, you know, he's the rock of the church. God, the Lord built the church on him, which is a false teaching. Okay. The church is not built on Peter. When the Lord said to him, you know, thou art Petros, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is, it could sound like that, but in the Greek, when he says thou art Petros, Petros means little rock. And he says, upon this Petra, which means humongous rock. Amen. And the context is, who do you say that I am, Peter? Because they were just by what was called the gates of hell in those days. And Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, right? Just after that as well. But they were by this place where the god Pan was being worshipped. On the Israel trip, those of you go there, we'll go there and we'll be right there in this huge cave opening where there's these nooks and niches that were for their idols and so forth. And he was preparing his disciples because he was going to die to go out into the world to witness the lost. And a lot of them haven't traveled beyond their own Galilee and Jerusalem and what have you. And he's preparing them. So he takes them out into the pagan world where Greek and Roman gods are being worshipped. And letting them know, as Lord of all, who do you say that I am, Peter? And letting them know that he was going to be with them. And he had power of the darkness. And the gates of Hades were not going to prevail, because that mouth was symbolic of a gateway to Hades. Will not prevail against the church. But who do you say that I am, Peter? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Peter, you know, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Revealed what? That he is the Christ. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the theme of the Gospel of John, that we might believe that he is the Christ, right? The Son of God, and that by believing we would have life in his name. And he says, thou art Petra's little rock, but upon this Petra, the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Peter knew that, by the way, because in 1 Peter chapter 2, guess what he does? He says that we are living stones built into the chief cornerstone, Jesus. Makes it clear he knew who the rock was. Amen. But Jesus changed his name from Simon to little rock, Petros, because Simon, for him, he was shifting sand. That's what that meant in his life. When people saw Peter, they saw a guy that was shifty, a guy that wanted to do what's right, but needed the power within to walk the righteous life. He was like, as Paul speaks in Romans chapter 7, of someone, as Paul talked about his own life before he was converted to Christ, how things he didn't want to do, you know, he did, and the things he didn't want to do, he ended up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Amen. Thanks be to Lord Jesus Christ, then. Thanks Jesus. And the context there, a lot of times people read that, the things I don't want to do, I do, and so forth, as being present tense Christian experience. The context, if you look, Paul's talking about when he was a child under the law. And then he became aware of the law and God's moral law and the law of Moses for him as well. And when he became aware of it, it killed him. Not because the law is bad, but because he is bad. And it showed him his sin. And then he started to become very aware of his sinfulness. He says, who will save me from this body of death? Because things I want to do, I can't, I don't do. And things I don't want to do, I do. Who's going to save me from this? Read the context, Romans 7. That's how the early church fathers, the way I'm explaining it to you right now, is the way the early church fathers for the first three centuries understood it before Augustine, the primary theologian of the Catholic Church, said, no, that's Paul when he was saved. But he says, who will save me from the body of death? And thanks be to Jesus. Jesus saves him. Amen. And then Romans 8 is all about the victory we have in the power of the Spirit. It's not that we can't relate at times, because we all fall short, but our battle is not against the law, to keep the law. That's legalism. We're not under the Mosaic law. Amen. That's the battle Paul was losing. We're not under that law. We're under the law of Christ. Amen. And we have the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, there's another war we read about in Galatians chapter 5. And that's where the Spirit is at war with the flesh and the flesh with the Spirit. And if we don't walk in the Spirit, we can lose that war. Amen. So we still have a tension. We still have a war. But that's the grounds. It's the Spirit against the flesh. It's not us against the law of Moses anymore. That was Paul. And Paul got victory through Jesus. Now we're called to walk in the Spirit. Now the thing is Peter was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. He constantly had good intentions, but he didn't have the power to prevail in his walk with God. But who was going to give him the victory? The same one that gave Paul the victory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed into Peter and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. After 3 years of stumbling, and even after he's talking about humility, he's telling Peter and the other apostles how to be humble and to walk in love and so forth, they're still floundering. And then he rises from the dead, he breathes on them, says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then you see this Peter who had just denied him three times, standing up before the Sanhedrin and the Jewish leaders at the day of Pentecost, proclaiming with a booming voice the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he ended up being crucified upside down for his faith. He got new power. Peter, the shifting sand who was Simon, shifting sand became Peter. Amen. And that's a lot of the message. And the reason I take a few minutes out to explain this, that's a lot of the message of 2 Peter, how we're to become little rocks, how we're to become living stones and be solid, built into the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to start with the first two words, Simon Peter. Now I want to read all the way through verse 11. And we won't exegete. We won't go through all of these verses today. Like I said, it'll be a three-part series. Great way to kick off our new year, I believe. But we'll read them, and then we'll study the first four verses or so. The next week, we'll take a few more. And after that, the following Sunday, we'll finish all the way to verse 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You could understand, especially with the way I teach, how this is a lot going on here, right? And I thought, we're not going to get past four today. But let's keep reading. Verse 5. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith. You want to grow? Look what he says. Apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in brotherly kindness, love. And if these qualities, verse 8, are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to be fruitful and useful in your knowledge of Jesus? He doesn't want us to become unfruitful. And we need to grow in these things if we're going to have the resolutions for our Christian walk that we ought to have. But look at verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble or fall. Verse 11, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly what? Supplied to you. Amen. How many want that ending? That's a good ending. Amen. New Year's resolutions are good. Usually if they're good goals and so forth. But new life resolutions that count for eternity matter most by far. Amen. In fact, I looked at the top 10 New Year's resolutions on one list. I'm sure lists vary. But number one, which a lot of us can relate to this, exercise more. Number two, lose weight. Kind of go hand in hand. By the way, what are those two things focused on the most, though? Yourself and your body, the material. Three, get organized. Number four, learn a new skill or hobby. Five, live life to the fullest. Number six, save more money, spend less money. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, spend more time with family and friends. Number 10, travel more. And number nine, travel more. Number 10, read more. That means click the article so you can read more, but I was in a hurry, so I don't know what they had number 10. I just realized, I have read more as number 10. That's what's going on there. So if you type in those, you'll probably find their particular list. One thing I noticed when I looked at two or three top 10 lists, guess what? Guess what's missing there today in our modern day American culture? Seeking God, living for the Lord, glorifying Jesus. Totally missing. And what I've noticed in the years that I've been a pastor, there's been a shift, and you can notice prophecy being fulfilled in a lot of ways. In the last days, it says, terrible times will come. Men will be lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And I've tried to explain to you that we've seen this prophetic shift happen before our very eyes in our culture. It threatens our children, our families, our lives. We become a narcissistic culture. And one way I've seen it happen is in the magazines, you know? Years ago, when I was a kid, big magazines, I remember having a big one called Life Magazine. Life, it's about life. You know, then that magazine's us, it's just us. Then now there's magazines called Me and Self. Those are the popular magazines. And we became so self-focused and self-absorbed. And on this list, you know, and there's not, I mean, exercise, losing weight, that's all good. In fact, from a Christian's perspective, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen, so we want to be healthy. But what should be on the very top of the list? This is another way I've seen it shift. It's through the years, I've seen God drop lower and lower on the list. I've seen these in the past where, you know, going to church more, you know, was on there. You know, becoming more spiritual was on there. Then it went from, you know, Christianity to spiritual. It was more nebulous. Now it's just, they've just dropped off the list. But the crazy thing is true biblical Christ-following Christians are the happiest, most blessed people on earth. Because guess what they're doing? Guess what's on the top of their list? Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. And his righteousness. And all these things, Jesus said, and all of our needs will be what? Added to us. But today, we have like Abraham's Maslow, one of the fathers of modern psychology, his hierarchy of needs, which is built in the form of a pyramid. He has like material things first, and the spiritual is the last thing on the list. It's reversed, even in popular education, when it even shows up. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. So I hope and pray your first resolution, you know, and some of you say, well, actually, my main thing, I was going to do this. But yeah, Joe, of course, God's always first in my life. But let's put him in the forefront. Let's affirm it, man. First thing we're going to do is make sure we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. And then guess what? A lot of these blessings that people go after will be added to you. If you have the Lord and you have him first, you know, if you seek the Lord and his kingdom, you get him and then you get a lot of other things thrown in. Amen. If you don't seek the Lord, you don't get him and anything else, you're going to lose eventually. Amen. So it's important to put the Lord first. Simon Peter, back into verse 1, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He's a sent one, an apostolos. Of Jesus Christ. Jesus called him. He sent him to those who have received. Now, I love this. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Same kind as ours. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for you, that may not seem very revolutionary. Well, yeah, we've received. It's to us as well. It's to everybody who's received a faith. I love it. It's addressed to all believers. It's not even addressed to one specific church that we can garner truth from because it's meant for all of us, really. But he that has an ear, let him hear what it says. The churches still applies. But this is directly to everyone who has faith in Jesus. And it's revolutionary because in the first century, there was a guy named Peter, we're talking about him right now, who thought that salvation was only for who? The Jews. Remember that? And God had to shake him up. I'm not going to go through the whole story because I want to spend time in the text more. But had to shake him up and wake him up and direct him through a vision, and a series of visions with the food coming down three times, to a man named Cornelius, a centurion, a Roman leader in the military, to bring the gospel to him, remember? And then he realized that God accepted the Gentiles too. And that he said in chapter 10, verses 34 through 36, that he learned through preaching the gospel to Cornelius, and Cornelius showing evidence that he was following Jesus and had turned to him and received Christ, that God accepts anyone everywhere who receives him, who turns to him, has faith. And that's not how he put it, but he says, I learned that God is not partial, but he accepts everyone who fears him from all the nations, basically. And he learned a huge lesson. So now when you read this, if you keep that in mind, right? To of those who have obtained the same faith as ours. He doesn't see Gentiles as second-class people in the kingdom of God. And he understands that we're all equalized at the cross. Amen? Now notice it says, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way we have salvation is through faith in Christ, the righteous one, the holy one, who died on the cross for us. Amen? Paid for our sins. Tetelestai, paid in full, was buried, rose again and conquered the grave, conquered death, conquered Satan, conquered hell. But through Jesus' gospel, we have eternal life. Amen. And so he's addressing believers. And then in verse 2, he says, grace and peace be what? Multiplied to you. Now, it's interesting. How many would love to see God's grace? And God's grace primarily comes to us in the way of salvation. Amen. But there's more to salvation than simply going to heaven, guys. Far more. How many of us would like to... There's also the charisma, the grace of God, that comes in the context of gifts that he gives us. Context of blessings that are in our lives. And I love this, because grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, he wants us to cooperate. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Our responsibility is to put trust in him. Paul calls it the obedience of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. We have to have faith. Without it, we have nothing. But it's interesting. Grace and peace are multiplied to us through Jesus. Now, look at this. It's interesting because in verse 5, now, for this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Supply. How many have the word add right there? Anybody in your translation? Raise your hand. Great. Add. Good translation. Add. We're called to add. And I love it. Because he multiplies. He makes the math easy for us. We just add some things to our lives. And don't worry, he'll multiply it. Okay? And we're not really in verse 5. I'm getting a little ahead of us here. But let's go back now to verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We want grace. That's God's riches at Christ's expense, if you want to look at it as an acronym. You know, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's all that comes from the gospel. You know, your name being written in heaven, yes. But being an heir of all things with Christ, a joint heir with God. That's just a blow mind when you think of what we have. And we have this in Jesus. Now think about this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Which is first, grace or peace on this list? Grace. Grace. You cannot have peace until you have what first? Grace. Every time you read a New Testament letter and grace and peace are coupled together, guess what is always first? Without exception. Grace always comes before peace. Because the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. That's why they can't have peace on earth. Even when they're saying peace and safety, the Apostle Paul says sudden destruction will come upon them. Isaiah said twice, there's no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. Because you cannot have peace. Peace is about having a right relationship with God and others. And if you're in rebellion to God, you cannot have peace in your heart. You can't have peace in your life. You're just going to have turmoil. And most of the world system, I mean, they're like stubborn little bratty kids. And it says they hate the light. They refuse to come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. They don't want to get right with God. They will not have him reign over them, as Jesus said. And they have no peace. How can you have peace? It says, why are there wars among you? You know, and it says, because you take from others. That's how the nations of the world are, you know, whether they try to do it so legally, quote unquote, or not. They take from each other. They rob each other. That's how people are. That's how communities are. That's why we have to lock our doors. How many of you lock your car doors? How many of you lock your house doors? Because people don't have grace yet. People haven't experienced salvation. Before you can have peace in your life, you have to have the Prince of Peace living in your heart. Amen. You're not, if you're dwelling right now saying, man, why is there so much anxiety in my life and so much friction and confusion and so forth? Well, if it's not because of a trial that you just happen to be going through and need to just get your spiritual legs under, a lot of times it's because you don't have grace in your life. You're not looking to Jesus. Amen. He says, those who keep his eyes stayed on him, he will keep in what? Perfect peace. Amen. You got to keep your eyes on. Peter learned that, right? Peter knew where the grace came from and the peace came from. Remember when he was walking in the water, Jesus invited him. He's on the water. Look at me, guys. Don't do that. Look at Jesus, Peter. He took his eyes off of Peter, put him on the waves. What happened? Started to sink. Jesus grabbed him. Doesn't say he sank. It says he started to sink. So I assume that means he sank a little bit. Inch, two, half a foot, I don't know. Jesus grabbed him. Jesus was a strong dude. Hey, when he whipped that whip out, right? They didn't even think of messing with him. Why didn't they just gang up on him? Hey, we got a right to be here, man. They're ripping all the people off of the temple. He takes a whip out and they're like, gone. He's pretty radical. We got a radical savior. He's a carpenter as well. Amen. He's a builder. Yeah, he built the universe. That's even better, right? We got an awesome savior. Now, Jesus held him and brought him forth. And Peter realized, I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. And he knew where the grace came from. He knew where the peace came from. So if you want to have peace in your life, you need to make sure that you're saved, your sins have been forgiven, that Jesus is first in your life. When Jesus is no longer first in your life, you're not going to experience peace. And you're going to be searching for peace in all the wrong places and come up empty every time. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. We talked about it being multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now notice that again. The source of salvation, verse 1, ends with our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, there it is again. Jesus is God. Amen. The verses that Jesus is God are all over. There it is again. Chapter 1, verse 1. He's our God and Savior. But right here at the end of verse 2, it's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. God is three persons, one God, triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it comes through him, guys. It comes through him. Everything comes through him. And notice it's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Paul said, God wills that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. It all comes through Jesus. Verse 3. And we're just going to go through the first four verses this morning. Verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Wow. His divine power. What's his divine power? Let us make man in us. Yeah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Created the universe. We can't even really begin to fathom how powerful the universe is. And I'm not going to go into that. I talk about that from time to time. And I'm not going to go into any depth, but when you think of the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies and that we're in a galaxy that's 100 million light years across, 100 million light years across, that means just in our galaxy, if you were to travel at the speed of light, how fast is that? 186,000 miles a second. That'd be pretty fast. What if you woke up for Christmas and you got a speed of light pack they just invented and only your mom knew where to get it? And it was $10. You know how fast you could go around the earth? 7 times in 1 second. Now, traveling that speed, guess how long it would take you to cross the galaxy that we're in, the Milky Way galaxy? 100 million years at that speed. That's just our galaxy. And we have millions and millions of galaxies that we, and it goes beyond what we know. Do you know when they the Hubble telescope is, and the telescopes that they've developed now, they still haven't found a wall where it stops. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And now they're admitting, you know how much sand is just, if you just picked up one handful of sand, and if you try to count them, can you imagine? You have a timeout. You can't get up until you count accurately that handful of sand in your hand. Now think of just a beach of sand. Now think of all the beaches on the earth. And the Bible compares the sands of the sea to the stars of heaven. And guess what? God did that a long time ago. Guess what? Guess what NASA's doing now? They're comparing it, saying there's more stars than sand on the earth. It's just, you can't get your brain around it. And this God, that's his divine power. In the Bible, Jesus said, all power is in heaven and earth is given unto me. Amen? And now, it's by his divine power that he wants to bless us. The same power, Jesus said. He says, you know, because I live, you will live also. The Apostle Paul, two different times, talked about the same power that Jesus rose himself, that by which he was risen from the dead, is given to us to give life to our mortal bodies. This is an amazing God. And what's a trip is, you know how many people wanted new gadgets, the newest technology, the newest little gadgets that ran on this power, that power, or whatever, and they're excited about it. Woo, guess what, guys? We have divine power available to us. God's power. And it's for good. Amen? It's for our blessing. It was designed for us to appropriate through faith so we can walk with God and be holy and glorify him with our lives. Seeing verse 3 that his divine power has granted to us what? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Through the what? There it is again. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Wow. Now, the Christian life in a lot of Christian messages today, and a lot of people you run into, you share the gospel with, sometimes, a lot of times they'll say they're saved, but they really haven't turned to Jesus. You have to sometimes, you know, when you get to know someone, you start to realize, man, they're living a very wicked lifestyle and so forth. And for a lot of people, Christianity is simply punching a ticket, saying the sinner's prayer, and in their mind, getting saved. Now, guess what? First and foremost, you need to get saved to make sure you're right with Jesus. Amen. But Christianity is more than fire insurance. It's more than punching a ticket. It's more than saying a sinner's prayer. He has, by his divine power, the power by which he created the universe, given us all things, not some, most, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. Get your brain around that. Get your brain around that. Everything you need. Oh, by the way, it doesn't say he will give, but he's already what? Given. It's past tense in the Greek too. It's already there. It's already there for us. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've been saved, but now we're seated, it says, in heavenly places. Amen? There's so much more to Christianity than being saved, as wonderful as that is, but it's what has he saved us from, and what has he saved us to? Amen? He saved us from hell, from death. Amen? From the clutches and power of Satan. And he's given us new life. But our destiny is not to just sit on clouds. I mentioned this last Wednesday. Like a cherub, you know, chubby cherub playing a harp for eternity. That beats hell, that's for sure. But it's more than that. In last Wednesday's message, we're in Revelation chapter 20 now, studying the millennial period. And one thing, I had to take a whole message out just to look at scriptures that have to do with what we'll be doing during the millennium. And I just scratched the surface. It says we're going to rule with him for 1,000 years. Amen? It says we're going to judge angels as well in the future. It says, can't you get a few people together to constitute the smallest courts in church when there's a problem? Do you not know that you're going to judge the world? And we went to a lot of scriptures. Those who suffer with him will reign with him, it says. Amen? Oh, those who endure will reign with him. I mean, there's a ton of scriptures. Revelation 2, Revelation 3, promises the churches will rule with him with a rod of iron. That to the apostles, we saw two different places where he said they judge the 12 tribes of Israel. When Jesus Christ returns and sets up his 1,000-year reign, which we're studying on Wednesday nights, you should be at the study if you can make it. Had a great time. He's going to study the millennium right now. I mean, we're going to be very active because people that had not had an opportunity to come to Christ or had been in far off nations and so forth and didn't come up against Christ to fight him at Armageddon We read in Revelation or in Zechariah 12, 13, and 14 that non-believing Jews will see him when they pierce. They'll go into the millennium with natural bodies. They'll reproduce. People, it says in Zechariah 12, who are left from the nations that went up against Jerusalem, that they're left over still. And I believe it's the young people that were under the age of accountability, just like the kids that entered into the promised land, because it's like the promised land all over again. And they haven't been tested yet. And they'll have natural bodies and they'll reproduce and they'll be a vast earth, but we'll be reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And who's going to rule those people? Guess who? You. And you know what? This is new news to like 99% of Christians. We start talking about this. There's natural bodies in the millennium. They'll reproduce. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. There's different activity that goes on there. They'll be supposed to come up to Jerusalem to worship on the Feast of Booths to come and see. We'll be with the Lord in our new bodies. Amen. No more testing for us. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Can't wait. Happy day. Amen. But you're going to be busy. It won't be a pain either. It won't be by the sweat of your brow anymore. It'll be just a pure delight because we won't have that flesh hanging on. Amen. We won't like, oh, I need to ask for forgiveness. You know? Oh, I got to fight against this flesh. God, give me strength. You just be there. Amen. Rolling and reign with Christ. And guess what? I'm trying to tell you there's far more to Christianity than the sinner's prayer. Than saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. That's the most glorious thing is the entry is to be saved. But that's just part of the most glorious thing. We wait the resurrection. Amen. To me, the most glorious thing is not only being saved, but also seeing Jesus. Amen. My Lord and Savior, and being with him. He that has this hope purifies himself. He is pure. We become more like Jesus. And we are now supposed to live Christian lives. He says, apply all diligence in verse 5. We're not looking at verse 5, but yet we're not going to exegete the passage at verse 5 and onward till later. But we're supposed to apply these Christian truths to our lives. That's why you don't hear me just have a salvation message every time we get together. We talk about what it means to be a Christian. We talk about what it means to be separate from this world, which is what he talks about in verse 4. Being escaping the corruption that's in this world, the pollutions that are through lust, the corruption that comes through lust in this world system that we live in. But we're partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? And what does it mean? All things, he gives us all things that pertain unto God, life and godliness. By his divine power. You know, there's people listening to me right now, even in this church service, who are like, yeah. I'm just going to leave here and go home and listen to my rap music, you know, and listen to the F word every three words. And listen about hate and all this ugliness and grieve God's spirit. And I won't say it like that. Or just get involved in the corruptions, which we read about in verse 4 of this world. And you just put tuning me out right now. You have no appetite for goodness. You have no appetite for love. You have no appetite for God because you're being systematically, by the prince and power of the air, through channeling demon-possessed people often, just brainwashed. But God calls us to be saved so he can cleanse us, so he can wash us by his precious blood, amen? The blood of his son, amen? So we can be saved to something. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, by grace are you saved through faith? That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, as anyone should boast about it. Amen? But you know what the next verse says? We are his workmanship, his poema. That's where you get the word poem from. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. He saves us to live righteous lives, to serve him and do wonderful things in this world. So your life counts. The reason a lot of people are depressed and sad and just have sad lives is because they have no sense of righteous purpose in their lives. That's why a lot of these liberals are so depressed. They're the most depressed people on earth because they're for killing babies. Yeah, let's keep killing babies and more the better for a lot of them, you know, championing, make sure we don't lighten it up to where less are killed, you know. Oh, marriage can be redefined, anything. But why do you think they get into saving the whales, saving the trees? Because they have guilty consciences and they want to have a sense of purpose. They want to have a sense I'm doing something right. It doesn't make up for all the bad you're standing for. You need to get forgiven and saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. They need to get right and follow his program as to what's right and not your own righteousness, which is not righteous at all. It's filthy rags. So the scriptures call us to this high calling where we're seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Did you know you have everything that pertains to life and godliness? You know, it's a multi-billion-dollar business every year, annually, multi, not million, billion-dollar business, self-help books, self-help, you know, webinars, seminars. It's huge. And they make more money. The more you don't get fixed and you keep coming back, the better. It's a racket. If people follow this passage, it would put them out of business. You would have to buy another self-help book in all your life. And I hope you're not focused on the secular, you know, worldly, and also sometimes the guys of Christianity self-help books. We got one main book. It's his book. Amen. And any book that's written better be pointing to Jesus. Amen. And not to yourself. Because we're supposed to call to deny ourselves. Esteem others higher than ourselves. Last days, men, we lovers of self. Amen. And when I seek Jesus, then he remakes me to reflect his image like a mirror the way I ought to be being. Amen. The way I ought to exist. But the cool thing is, he gives us, he has given us already, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you think God left things out where, man, I need to go to a psychotherapist? Because, you know, God just came short. He isn't. Are you kidding? And Trump, the word of God and the power of his Holy Spirit, the comforter who's called Jesus, who's wonderful counselor, the Holy Spirit, who I'll send you another comforter, paraclete, could also be translated sometimes as counselor. We have the creator of the universe with all power and all knowledge and all wisdom. And the Bible says we are complete in Jesus. Amen. We are complete in Christ. Amen. And I love that. He's given us everything. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you want to enjoy the blessings of God's promises in your life? Do you want to be an heir of all things, a joint heir of the creator of the universe, Jesus, and have everything that pertains to life and godliness? Do you want to have a fruitful life instead of a useless life? Do you want to make your calling and election sure? Do you want to be a bright witness to those who are perishing who need Jesus? Do you want to have an incredibly rich welcome into the kingdom of God when you die? Yes and amen, right? Pay attention to this series, man. Because that's what this series is all about. It's what it's all about. Now, it's interesting. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have everything that pertains to life and godliness. We don't need to read something else to know how to get our lives together. In fact, if you read something contrary to scripture, it's just going to mess you up. Amen. Now, God's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He's given men of God that he uses to explicate the word of God, to exegete the word of God. And that's a good thing. Okay. It's a blessing, but you want to make sure you're a person first and foremost of one book. Amen. His word. And read everything in the context of what his word says if we're to grow in grace in the way he wants us to. Now, look at verse 3 again. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything. You might circle everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's why we don't need psychotherapy. I mean, I have a whole list of things. It's really sad. Just over 40 million Americans are suffering from anxiety. Over 15 million are suffering from depression. About 8 million people are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. The U.S. suicide rate hit a 50-year record in 2017, guys, contributing to a lower life expectancy for Americans. That's part of a larger downward trend. Our life expectancy kept going up because of medical prowess that we have now and state-of-the-art medical equipment and knowledge. Now it's going the other way. One reason, suicide rate's going up. This country has more than it's ever had, technology-wise. But guess what? It's depressed and more than ever. Because why? Well, look at the resolutions that people have. The top 10, that tells you why. Because someone didn't make the list. Jesus, their maker. The very authority, the creator of their lives. The one who gives them strength to live life. Amen. The one who should be their lives. The one whose word would direct them through life and guide their steps to fruitful life has been jettisoned from the list when he should be first and foremost. Amen. Now, he says, he gives us, it says, by his divine power. The Greek word power is dunamis. I love that word. I remember when I was a new Christian, and now I have really, you know, good Greek dictionaries, but when I was a new Christian, I had a Strong's, dictionary. Strong's good. It's just not very, it's a little limited, but it's good. But I haven't used a Strong's in years. But I remember when I saw that I was looking up and I was a new Christian, not very old in the Lord, and maybe still a teenager even. And I looked up that Greek word, dunamis, and just two words, miraculous power. I thought, wow, that's awesome. When it's used in the context of God, it speaks of his miraculous power. There's another Greek word for power that means authority. There's other Greek words that is used sometimes. But he's given us his divine miraculous power for our lives. Now, keep in mind, it says last days terrible times will come. And one of the things it says is people have a form of godliness, but deny, guess what? The power thereof. So they have a form of godliness. There's millions of people in America right now, millions and millions at church. La-di-da, listening, singing. They leave and they're still defeated in life because they have a form of godliness, but they deny. Form of godliness, it says, but they'll, that's last days, it says, but they'll deny the dunamis, the miraculous power of God. Many of these churches are liberal. They don't even believe in miracles. The virgin birth, creation, they deny the divine power of God. Now, you can right now, I say pretty much everyone here believes, yeah, I believe in God's divine power. Obviously, he created us. He rose Jesus from the dead and so forth. But are you applying it to your lives in your daily walk? When you wake up in the morning, do you see the things before you and say, Lord, help me be wise. I commit my ways to you when you wake up. And help me live for you. And help it not be about me, Lord. Okay, deny myself. Help me deny myself, take up my cross, follow you. And may you be glorified in my speech. May you be glorified in the things I say. May you be glorified in my thoughts. May, Father, do you pray this? Father, help me be a blessing to people. Help me not to put myself first, which us humans are so prone to doing. And help me, if you're married, to be a blessing to my spouse. Even if your spouse was just mean to you. Because, Jesus, everybody was mean to you. And you love them back, and I'm going to be like you. Or your kids. Lord, help me treat them in love. Help me not go overboard. If it's a struggle because they've done something or they're not acting right, help me not to walk in the flesh, but help me to walk in love. And give me the strength because I need your dunamis. I need your divine power. Amen. Because you can't do it in and of yourself. You need God's power. You need God's strength if you're going to be victorious. Amen. Are you doing that in your life? Your life should be one of prayer because, when my truck is run out of gas, typically I go to the gas station when it gets low. If I don't, I just help somebody who just ran out of gas, called me up, and I went and helped them out, And I thought that used to be me when I was young, I'd always, by the grace of God, I think every time I coast into a gas station somehow. So I was always to the downhill of the gas station. Thank you, Lord. He was too gracious to me. That's even easier than when you just call your dad, I guess, I'll let you guess. But guess what? I'm constantly low on fuel because I wake up in the morning and I want to be refueled, man. Lord, give me strength, and hopefully through the night, I try to refuel. Lord, give me strength. Give me your divine dunamis. Give me your power to live life. Wake up in the morning. Lord, before I came here, before I preached, I've already prayed a few times before I came into the pulpit today. I feel I need to do that, And I think we prayed twice since we've been up here, me personally. And sometimes you hear me doing a message, Lord, give us wisdom or whatever. That should just be our way of life. Amen. Constantly relying. We have not because we ask not, the word of God says. Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, right? Knock and the door shall be opened to you. But he said more than that. It's in the present tense. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. You're supposed to be continually relying on his power to live a victorious Christian life. You want to constantly have his knowledge and wisdom throughout the day. Amen? That's what's multiplied to us, knowledge of who he is, of his will for our lives. And as we seek him and we cry out to him throughout the day, and the Lord shows us, how many throughout the day you're like, oh, that I shouldn't have done that. I could have been better in my response. Lord, sometimes we just come to an end of ourselves. I know this morning when I'm finishing my message up, there's times where I'm like, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I want this to be exactly what you want it to be. And we just do that. And guess what? If we ask according to his will, we what? It says, we have it. Amen. But we need to appropriate what he's given to us. He's already given it to us. This is all ours in Christ. Amen. We're already in heavenly places. Holy Spirit already lives in us if you're a believer. Amen. But you have to, you have not because you ask not. You have to ask. See that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need for your life that God's called you to, that God wants you to be, he gives you in Christ Jesus by his divine power. And what? I love this. Not just life. And what? Godliness. Everything you need to live a moral life. Oh, Joe, you know what? Praise God. A lot of the Christians here at Blessed Hope, you know, a lot of you guys are doing good, man, but God just doesn't work that way with me. He just doesn't want to bless me. He doesn't, you know, it's good for you guys, but you know, I'm a failure. There's no way I could ever have victory. You know what? God is not partial. Remember Peter? I love it. How it starts. The same grace, the same faith that Peter was saved through. We're saved by the same faith. Amen. We have the same God. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Amen. Oh, he still has a plan for Israel. He still has his program going. But at the foot of the cross, guess what? We're all children alike before him. Amen. And he wants to bless you. Isn't that awesome? So you need to make sure that you appropriate his blessings through faith and being close to Jesus and putting him first in your life and living for his glory. So look at this again. He said, by his divine power, he's granted to us everything, everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have the same power the person next to you, the person in front of you, the person in back of you has to live a godly life. If you do not live a godly life, it's not because God doesn't want you to succeed. He says, choose life. I put life and death before you. He says, choose life. Even Cain, who it says was of the evil one and killed his brother. He had an opportunity. The Lord said to him, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? He reasoned with Cain, and Cain could have chosen to follow him, but he didn't. So if you're going the wrong direction, it's based on your choices. If the Bible says you have no excuse, but don't go that route. Seek the Lord and be blessed in your life. Amen. And live for the Lord, but live by his power. It says, well, that power comes where? Through what? Through the what? True knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He called us. You know, he invited you. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you're not chosen, it's because you refuse to hear the call. Just read Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom calls in the streets, you know. But God damns people in the end because he says, I called, but you did not answer. You did not choose the fear of the Lord, he says. When he calls Israel, certain Israelites among them don't respond to his call. But he says, all day long I stretch forth my hands calling you. But he calls them stiff-necked. They won't listen. Amen. Later, Peter says in verse 10, make your calling and election sure. You have a responsibility in your calling and election. Obviously, election is not unconditional if you have to make it sure. You have a responsibility, and that's faith and continuing in the faith. Make your calling and election sure, he says. And then he says, you'll never fall that way, and you'll have an abundant entrance into the kingdom. There is a measure of freedom that God's given us. Otherwise, we deny the scripture and what God's revealed, and we make him a false witness. Because the scripture, he says, there's no temptation that's taking you, but that which is common to man. But with the temptation, God is faithful. He will also give you a way of escape that you may be able to what? Endure it. That shows you have choice. Amen? You have choice. He says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In the same verses. So you have to be aware and make, take the right path. And I love it because it comes through the knowledge of him who called us. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of Jesus. By his own glory. He called us by his own glory. His glory is all that he is and stands for. And excellence. Some of you have, some of your translations may say goodness. If you have the King James, it'll say virtue. The word speaks of goodness, of God's excellence. Sometimes it's translated as Peter translates it later in verse 5, moral excellence, same word. He's called us by his moral excellence. Guess what he's called us to? His moral excellence, to live in it, to become morally excellent. It's the first thing on the list of the seven pillars. He says, add to your faith these seven things in verses 5 through 7. Right? Add to your faith moral excellence. With moral excellence, knowledge. And he goes on. First thing on the list is moral excellence. He wants you to be like him. Jesus said, be holy like your Father is holy. Amen. Peter says in 1 Peter, pass your sojourning here on this earth in fear as pilgrims and be holy as he is holy. Amen. We're called to be like him. Well, we can't be like him on our own, can we? We lack the strength, but in his power, which is available to you. So when you make new life resolutions, and hopefully as you go through the series, hopefully a lot of your resolutions will be adding to the seven pillars, to the foundation. It all starts with faith. Add your faith in the seven things. I want to encourage you to memorize verses 5, 6, and 7. They'll be like three of the easiest memory verses that you've ever memorized in your life. Because it's symmetrical. And it's got a cadence to it. You know, add to your faith what? Moral excellence. And to moral excellence, knowledge. Amen? And boom, that'll keep you on track. Not just for the next year, but that'll keep you on track for your life. Amen? You say, wow, these are seven things that I'm supposed to add to my life. If you memorize NASB, supply to your life. So that if I do them, I'll never fall. So if I do them, I'll make me call an election sure. So if I do them, I'll have a rich welcome into the kingdom. Amen? Sound like a deal? How could you not want anything but that? Your highest goal should be to be with Jesus forever. I ask people, when I witness, a lot of times I'll say things like this. What's the most important decision you'll ever make in life? And a lot of times they'll like get cross-eyed. And then I think invariably to this point, I say, wouldn't where you spend eternity be the most important? Almost invariably, I can't remember anybody yet that said no. They'll shake their head and go, yeah, you're right. Then all of a sudden, instead of being a Jesus freak, they're all of a sudden, this person's talking about the most important question of my life. I never really thought about it. But we should be thinking about it all the time. Amen? Because these days are going to pass, and then we have eternity before us. And I want to challenge you. I love you guys. And one of the ways we grow in faith is by his word dwelling in us, amen? Being like the tree planted by the water, amen? Meditating on his word day and night. So you start your year off memorizing verses 5 through 7. You want to memorize more? Great. The one time I preached this message, not this message, totally different message, didn't even consult my old notes. And it was just one message on New Year's, but I went through some of these verses. A brand new sister in the Lord, I think it was Marty Hedge, just started coming to the fellowship. She committed, I think, not just those verses, but I think the first chapter or more, maybe the book. I forget exactly how much it was, but to memory. And it blessed her walk with Jesus. I'm going to encourage you just to memorize verse 5, 6, 7. Just write it down. Take it where you're at. Watch the traffic. You know, I think it was Mary said recently, I followed you from down Madera. I was behind you. She goes, you do read when you drive. Well, yeah, especially if it's right before church. I'm looking at my notes, you know, because otherwise I just see a bunch of words. And especially if it's 33 pages long, it's like, I better get it together, you know. But I try to pay attention. I try not to do that too often. Mary said she wouldn't tell on me, but, you know. Told him myself, Lord, help me. Give me strength. There we go. So to read really good when I drive. No, I'm just kidding. So in verse 3, that's awesome. Now look at verse 4. For by these, by what? By his divine power and his ability to give us everything that we need and calling us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his what? Because of his divine nature and who he is, he has granted to us precious and what? Magnificent promises. Now, isn't that beautiful? He's granted to you precious. You know what that word precious in the Greek means? Precious and magnificent. Magnificent from the Greek word mega. You know what mega means, right? Huge. You know, surfers use that to catch a mega wave. You know, Donald Trump's using it. Make America great again. Well, America is not going to be great again if we just get good trade and stuff like that. That'll be a blessing. Amen. And I'd much rather have him in office than Hillary, right? And there's a lot of people attacking him on the left, so that must mean he's doing some good things, my opinion. Is he doing some things that we got to be watchful or should we follow him blindly? Absolutely not. You know, pray for him and all the other leaders. Amen. But America only becomes great again if Jesus is first in our country. You know that, right? And that's the main thing we need, is faith in the Lord. But you know what? God has called people. Nations, by and large, turn away from him and they forget God. It says the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. That's why it's important that we put God first, amen? But you individually must make sure that you appropriate for your life the precious and magnificent promises that he has for you. This is why this passage is, these new life resolutions are good, important, is realizing he doesn't just call you to his glory and excellence. He doesn't call you to be blessed. He supplied the power by his divine power through his what? He mediates that power through his many precious and magnificent promises to you. Do you realize the kind of promises that you have? If I promised you, I wrote a promissory note for $1 billion and I gave it to you. And the promissory note is right when you ask for it, that person has to deliver. Do you think I'd be able to deliver? No. No, I couldn't honestly give you a promissory note for $10,000 or $5,000 or $1,000. If you went to my bank account, you wouldn't be able to pull $1,000 out even. I'm not complaining. God's given me everything. I'm blessed. I got all things in Christ Jesus. But you know what? God's given you something more than a $1 billion promissory note. He's given you his precious and magnificent promises, which have to do with eternal light, being a joint heir with Christ, walking on streets of gold in a new Jerusalem that looks like this incredible forest, but a city intermingled with a forest, with his life and light pulsating through the city forever. And he's given you promises that pertain to right now for life and godliness. Amen? Right now. They've estimated over and over again about 7,000 plus promises in the Bible. Amen. It blows me away when I think about that. It blows me away. And you don't need self-help books. You don't need seminars. You don't need webinars about how to improve your life. You need more of Jesus. Amen. Give us more of Jesus. Give us more of his word and so forth. That's what we need. We need more of him. We need to put our trust in him, and we have all these wonderful, magnificent promises. You know, D.L. Moody, popular Bible teacher that died some years ago, he wrote the letters T and P when he saw the promises of God in his Bible. And over again, he put a T when it was tried, and what? It was for tried and proved. When he saw God's promises come to pass in his life, he wrote T, tried. When you see a promise, then he wrote a P when it was proven in his life. God makes good on his promises because the Bible says God cannot lie. The Bible says in Psalm 145:13, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Is that awesome? That's our God. In the book of Hebrews, it says God cannot lie. He can't lie. He's incapable of lying because of who he is. That's Romans 4:21. Now, look at the end of this verse, verse 4. For by grace he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, look at this, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Having escaped, meaning when you first came to Jesus, you experienced the first promise, salvation. Amen? Having escaped the corruptions of the world through lust. What does it mean, the corruption of the world? Through lust. Why is the world corrupt? How did the world first become corrupt? The first human beings, what did they do? They rebelled against God. They wanted to be God. At least Eve did. She was deceived. Then Adam ate as well. But think of the corruption that's in the world. Why is it? It's because of lust. Whether it's sexual, usually when people hear the word lust, they think of, but the word lust in itself can refer to craving anything that's beyond what God's called you to crave it. Sex outside of the bedroom, between a husband and wife, or outside of a husband-wife relationship, I should say, is corrupt. In the fireplace, fire is good, man, but if it's crawling up your walls and in your house, it's not good, okay? God's created boundaries for sexuality, just like there's good boundaries for a healthy fire, amen? So the lusts, sexual lust, what is it? What do we have? Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, all over the place. We just posted a new video. Probably most of you haven't even seen it yet. I think it has about 40,000 views. Put up about a week ago on sex slaves and the Clintons and what have you. Check it out. You know, and Epstein, who just got a slap on the hand because he's tied to high people in government, and he was all kinds of 80 gals, or I don't know what it was, a lot. Accused him, and there was evidence that many of them, there were some serious problems, and we go through that. But he just got a slap on the wrist. You're in jail because he's. And we show the connections. We live in a wicked world, folks. But it's not just the lust for sex that breaks God's moral laws. It's the lust for power. Think of a lot of the corrupt politicians. Are there any corrupt politicians? Show me a politician that's not corrupt and I'll say, hallelujah, praise God, thank God. How'd that happen? Praise God. Power. Money. I mean, how many of you, anybody here experience, ever get ripped off in some way? Raise your hand if that happened. Anyway. Okay. How come a lot of people on this side hardly been on this side? Identity theft. Anybody ever have identity theft where somebody stole your identity? Yeah. I've seen hands go up. That's terrible things, man. Happens millions and millions of times a year. People are greedy. Okay. A lust for money, a lust for power, a lust for sex, a lust for, a lust for fame. How many celebrities surrender their souls to satanic powers so they can be worshipped and are used by demons, man, to corrupt people? Oh, you know what? And by the way, God, by his grace, has given us in this fellowship a wonderful way to reach the lost people. And I specifically, I've always had a heart to reaching everybody, but young people, I got saved when I was 18. And I think I still have a focus on seeing, because I saw the battle going on of seeing young people, because that's, if you don't choose the Lord when you're a teenager or before, the likelihood that you do in your 20s is very small. So we still put out videos targeting all ages, really. But we just did a video on Ariana Grande, who appeals to a lot of young people, and Queen, last month and a half or what it's been. But those two videos together, we have almost 1 million views on our YouTube channel of just those two. And I noticed how many of these young people, over and over and over again, these young people talked about how, you know, they were so grateful for the video because God showed them they need to deal with their music, you know. And the corruption in the world, they're seeing, their eyes are opening. And God's given us, through Good Fight Ministries, a real avenue to reach young people that we'd never be able to reach in a mass way. So on the Ariana Grande video, it's just over 400,000 views. Okay. And this is Ariana Grande. She's one of those, she has over, billion. She's like well over 1 billion views. I mean, that's like everybody on earth watching, you know. We have not everybody on earth, but a big part of the earth watching. She has billions of views if you put her videos together. And she's one of the biggest artists right now. But she has a video called, you know, where she's at the Last Supper and there's a gal that depicts Jesus and she's there with what's supposed to be the 12 disciples and they're touching each other sexually. It's very perverse. And she's in the Kundalini yoga thing where you realize your divinity in Hinduism, you know, the serpentine force is released up your spine and your third eye opens and you realize your divinity and so forth. And it's horrible. But we show where, you know, she's contacting spirits with a divining rod, and she talks about how she encountered these demons and stuff, and they've been revealed in her bedroom and stuff, but she looks like she's channeling these things. And we show these things where she's encouraging, she sings about making a pact with the devil, stuff like that. So a lot of these young people are watching these videos, and it's a way to reach them so they'll come out of, it's a gospel that saves us from the corruption of the world, through knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. And I thought, I was talking to Brother Chad, and we were talking about, we should share some of these testimonies of some of these that found Jesus. Because out of 400,000 views right now, there's over 4,000 comments. That's not uncommon. We have over 4,000 comments on our Queen video too. That's a lot of comments. And I try to read almost everything. It's a lot of work. But I try to read them and then comment sometimes. I don't have time to comment. I can't look at everything, but I try to look at a lot of things. But you know what I did? And I can only go for a little bit. Because I thought this would take forever to read. Because I read them as they come in at times. Not always, but a lot of times. And I thought, wow, I'm just going to go underscore and print, just copy some of the salvation ones that look like they turned to Jesus. You can't always be sure. And I was like blown away just on Ariana Grande. Listen to this. This was this morning, a new one. Thank you for the valuable video. God has saved me. Last night, about 10 o'clock or so, from Tweeny Juan. The other one was Sweetha Maria. Tweeny Juan says, thanks for helping me to stop listening to all these artists and that I loved. But now I'm well believing in God. Precious Tia, after watching this, I think I need to go to church. Angel Guerrera, many people from the comment section are saying that they're going to make changes on this because of this video. And that's true. Lakaia McNair, every time I watch videos like this, I get weird feelings. Then I get scared and I feel like I need to read my Bible or read the Bible. Ray H1, I'm changing my life starting now and glorifying God and Jesus. Zion L. Sky, I would like to say thank you, God, for making me realize that I've been listening to and opening up my eyes to the world and making me see the things that I see, listen to on a regular basis aren't good for me and others. I will now start praying for the better, for the good, for the light to shine down on the worst and make them great once again in Jesus. Michael Higginbotham, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and my sins and everyone else, and I repent. Suzanne Way, I embrace Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Cherish Janice, I've been backslidden, but my eyes are opened again. Lord, forgive me, for I've been backslidden. Forgive me, and I'm indeed a sinner, but I need to get back to you. Thanks for this video. God definitely works in mysterious ways, and I'm glad he chose to speak to me through this video again. Thanks. God bless. Kenneth LeBrat, praise God. I repent. Perpetual something. Thank you for using this video to open my eyes against the devil. I believe you, O Lord. You are my Lord and personal Savior. I surrender my life to you. Use me to do your will. I know that I'd been sinning and so forth. I've sinned. I'm praying for forgiveness. It gets a little longer. Ayana Martin, hands down, the best video I've ever seen on YouTube. Please forgive me and those around us and allow us to repent and fall into the right place. Isaiah Bell, thank you. You made me realize that I shouldn't put enemy before God. I don't want to go to hell. Jay Lorraine, amen. I need to pray more and fade away myself. But I want to be saved and I want to walk with Jesus. Kat Burnham, I used to listen to Ariana, but this is a real eye-opener. And these Satan worshipers are deceiving many. Jesus Christ is all I need, and he is the Lord, my Lord and Savior. Oh, Lord, forgive me, another one says, Juan Rivas, for the orgies that I've and the cocaine that I've snorted. Random drawer. Lord, please forgive me and save everybody from Ariana's bad demons and devils. And God, please forgive me for my sins. Barry Clara, good fight. Thanks so much for exposing all of those. And yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior forever and ever. Kira, this video has changed me. Gaby, she was my favorite artist, but not anymore. Thank you for posting this video. I feel like I need to go to church now. But there was one I saw named Alana. And Alana says, this video opened my eyes and a lot of things. And I got down and prayed and asked and talked to God to help me. And I would just like you to pray for me. No, this isn't Alana, this is someone else. And others out there. And I'd be able to find my way before I got lost. But Alana says, I believe in God. But I love singing. I love her singing voice. She's so talented. And it breaks me because I know what you are saying is true. Yet I can't help but continue to listen to her songs. I worry I'm sinning because of it. And then a sad face. And I wrote back to her, you know, a nice sized paragraph, this gal. And I let her know, basically, well, I'll just read it to you because it's the last one I'm reading. Hi, Alana. Before we come to the Lord, we lack power to obey his will. When we come to Jesus, when we come to Christ, he not only forgives us our sins, but gives us new desires and strength. And that's true, amen? Through the power of his Holy Spirit to do his will. If you turn to Jesus, he will give you the most blessed and precious desires to do his will and live for his glory. Life goes from dull gray to full color in Christ. Your spiritual eyes will be open and you'll experience his living water within you, your heart and your soul. The things that break God's heart will break your heart. He gives abundant life, John 10:10. Ariana, music is a cheap imitation that does not satisfy but purifies putrefies the heart and the soul. I'm talking about worldly, wicked music. We all will soon stand before our Creator Maker and give an account for our sins, crimes against God and others. We sincerely pray that you find forgiveness and eternal life in Christ before it's too late. Life is very short. Eternity never ends. Choose wisely where you spend eternity, heaven or hell. We pray that you choose Christ. God bless you, Alana. The thing is, a lot of people, they realize, man, they want that, man, I know I need to be forgiven, but I can't live the Christian life. I don't have strength because they're in the clutches of evil. And they don't, it's like the heroin addict can't see himself not doing heroin, right? But we need to let people know that it's not just salvation, as important that is. Salvation is more than just getting into heaven. It's also what? Having a transformed life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And people need to know the power that's available to them. But you know who needs to know it? Most Christians, because there's so many Christians falling every day And they don't know why, but it's because they're not appropriating God's promises through faith. They're not realizing they have these precious and magnificent promises that helped them originally escape from the corruption of the world through faith in Christ. Amen. And that they can live by the power of the Holy Spirit, victorious lives. I want you, the Lord wants you to live a victorious life today and tomorrow and the next year and for the rest of eternity. Amen. And it comes through faith, and it comes through making good on his promises. By the way, I just read you from one video we posted. And a lot of those sound like salvations. You know, I don't know the hearts of the people. Okay. Can I tell you this? When there's 400,000 views and there's 4,000 comments, that's just 1% of the people that commented. That's just 1% that commented. For everybody that comments, there's usually way more people that don't comment. So we're seeing, and we've been seeing at Blessed Hope, and we're seeing through Good Fight, tons of people getting saved because of emails, and we just run into people. People visit, come and visit. Every week or two, we seem to get visitors, and sometimes we've been saved through our videos or what have you. Pray that God will continue to use what we're doing, amen? Because a lot of people, I was talking to a brother, he goes, man, it's such a shame that it's so hard to reach these young people today. But guess what? I just read you a small fraction of people that are responding to what we're doing and getting saved, amen? These young people, oh, the millennials, man, they won't even listen to truth anymore and so forth. And that's true too for many of them. But guess what? We're reaching many of them. And we're just one ministry. Amen. God wants to use all of us. I want to encourage you to not only make your calling and election sure, so you'll have an abundant entrance into the kingdom, but make your light count for the gospel this year. Amen. Make your life, let your light shine for Jesus. Amen. Draw people to Christ. Well, I don't know if I can really know how to really articulate the gospel. Jesus died for you. He's buried. He rose again. He conquered death. If you put your faith in him, you'll be saved. It's relevant to everyone. Everybody needs salvation. Amen. We have tracts that are always free out front. You just grab them. Amen. You grab DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And I think they're like $1. And if you need something, sometimes you just give handfuls away just to witness with, you know. Let's be witnesses. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, the most important thing for all of us is that we have an abundant entrance into his kingdom. Amen. Well, we die, right? Well, the key to that is making sure you're in his kingdom right now, spiritually speaking. Amen. Making sure you know Jesus. Making sure that you have eternal life. I stopped reading. I mean, I could have gotten far more. I just thought, well, I'm stopping because I can't read 4,000 comments tonight. I don't have time. I was just starting to doze, you know. Is people still need Jesus. In the last days, people will still be saved. Amen. Let's make it part of our resolution, new life resolutions, to partake of his great and precious promises by seeking him and relying upon his divine power to live the life he wants us to live and to allow our lives to shine as lights in this dark world so we can draw more and more people to Christ. Amen. By the way, anybody here, anybody in this fellowship, anybody outside this fellowship, anybody connected to us through our live stream or podcast or whatever that's helped this fellowship at all, that supported, if you gave one penny to this fellowship, you've helped. This is some of the fruit that God's used you to bring about. Because we're a team that does this stuff. And this is just a fraction of what God's doing. Amen. And it's nice to know that what you're giving to is reaping eternal fruit. Amen. We have a good God. But the main point of this message, you guys, is that you are living for God's glory. Amen. And how many of you are going to make the resolution? You know what? Top of my list, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen.